Man, oh man. So I certainly try to be very clear and distinct whenever we discuss anything that is even slightly controversial or upsetting
sure.
to people. Because that's actually the last thing that we want to do in this podcast is make anybody upset or frustrated.
I'm waiting for the butt.
Well, I suggest Pornhub.com. There's plenty of it there.
I literally go, waiting for the butt. Enter. Oh, there's 18 pages.
Right. There was a couple of things I wanted to discuss. One, I definitely wanted to give a warning for. But I'll talk about this first, and that is, it has been interesting over the past few days looking at the reviews for The Eternals. It's been very, very interesting. So, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but even from the jump, we talked a little bit about this last week, but even from the jump, the professional critics have been panning The Eternals. I mean, it's been kind of crazy because I never thought I'd see the day where, I guess, slight spoiler alert, where I would be in agreement with, like, professional critics because more times than not, their reviews are, they're just shield, you know, they're just shields. They're just, you know, saying whatever they need to say in order to toe the company line, which is pretty ridiculous. But here with the Eternals, for some reason, man, like and it's so ironic that the most diverse, the most quote unquote woke MCU movie is the one that is being the most panned by the critics who usually lap shit like that up. And here they're panning it. Now, what's interesting is that also on Rotten Tomatoes is that the fan reception is sitting at like an 81% while the critic reception is below 50. What is also ironic is that either last week or the week before last, you and I spoke about how it could definitely be argued that Rotten Tomatoes tampers with reviews. And what is even more ironic, on top of the irony that's already there, Kevin, is that when we spoke about this, I distinctly remember saying that one reason why I kind of always felt like that is because the number of reviews or the review percentage never matched the actual number of reviews that were written out.
Okay.
And it looks that way again for like the positive fan reception for this movie. Now, I'm not saying that's the case. Maybe there's just a ton of people out there who truly think that this is a five-star masterpiece. But if you look at the actual reviews that are written out,
yeah,
compared to the number of positive reviews, it still does not add up. And now there's also, you know, this anecdotal stuff that we get into. We could talk about the anecdotal evidence where people said that they have downvoted the movie and it never showed up, where they have left negative reviews and it didn't show up. But again, that's anecdotal. That's here or there. That could be anything. Or it could be Rotten Tomatoes at work doing what Rotten Tomato does.
How do you say fucking bingo? Yeah, bud.
One more thing I wanted to say about this is that regardless of what you think about The Eternals, there was something that I saw actually earlier this morning that made my stomach churn. And thank goodness I don't remember the name of this company that put this out, but it was fucking disgusting. And what they were saying is basically that the only reason why people are so negative on The Eternals is because it's directed by Chloe Zhao, a woman, and that had it been a man, they were insinuating that the reviews would have been much more positive. And they were dead-ass serious. They were dead-ass serious. And again, I almost wish I remembered the name of the people who said this. They were the most MCU dick-sucking people I have ever seen in my entire life. It was cringe. So
that's disgusting.
It is.
That's fucking gross.
It is. What's even more gross?
I'm upset you, like, I'm upset that existed. Like, what? My brain was content this whole fucking day before you brought that up. And now it's like, man, that is a gross, blatant self-defense. That's exactly what it is. One, you're pandering to the MCU because you're just an MCU fan company, which, again, you can jump off that dick any day now. We understand. You're MCU fans. And there ain't nothing wrong with that, obviously, i.e. look at us. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, when shit's bad, that don't you mean you still gotta suck that limp dick. It's okay.
Right. Yeah, and that, you could have said anything. You know, you could have said, well, people don't like this movie because it's different.
Right.
But to put up the limp defense that people don't like the Eternals. First of all, Kevin, I guarantee you, 90% of the moviegoers have no fucking clue who directed the movie or the gender of the person who directed the movie.
And to the 10% who did know,
they didn't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to automatically, because what that insinuates is that people are so sexist.
3% of the 10% did not even know how to say her fucking name.
I mean, can we just look at the fact that maybe this is just a really big project for somebody who had only done 3 movies?
Yeah. Yeah. That is fair to say. And then again, one aspect, one very clever plot hole in the MCU perfect dumb that is, their movies that come out are always great. One working theory. Now, again, this is a theory because all of our speculation is, you know, oh so truthful because we've worked on all the movie sets there are, obviously. to be completely non-facetious, we have not. But a young director who doesn't have a lot of movies, but, you know, a little bit of popularity under their belt, can easily be hired on by a large, powerful corporation, i.e. Disney and the MCU, and more easily coerced into doing whatever the corporation and the producers want, rather than a really big director's name, i.e. your Christopher Nolan, your Scorsese's, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not saying that she was bought out, but there's always a chance of a younger director being more easily bought out or even pushed around more realistically.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be hesitant to use the term bought out.
Exactly. I'm more along the line of, hey, we should put this in the movie. Oh, that doesn't really make sense. Oh, we should put this in the movie. I'm paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shit like that.
Yeah. And I guess just one more thing about, like, the fuckheads who said that, you know, people didn't like the movie because it was directed by a woman. Where was that logic when Wonder Woman came out and it received rave reviews?
Mm-hmm.
Patty Jenkins is a woman who directed Wonder Woman. So your logic doesn't hold up. It just is. Your argument is very void of logic. And I hope that they're just shilling for Marvel and that they don't really think that. I hope they don't really think that.
Honestly, bro, I don't know. It seems desperate. And, you know, no one ever likes to team up with a desperate son of a bitch.
Mm.
But it seems like a desperate attempt to just claw their way for, like, angry reactions and clickbait and, like, hey, please pay attention to me because I said something stupid.
That's what it sounds like. But the way that
we've all known that at least one asshole like that, you know? Yeah.
The way that they said it, man, you could tell that they spent so much of their time in echo chambers and rooms surrounded with people who probably think the exact same things. But which is interesting. But, you know, another piece of interesting news here is that despite... if you look online right now, you would think that the Eternals is doing just phenomenally well. It's not.
Until you actually read a lot of those reviews, yeah.
I mean, not even like the reviews, but like from a money standpoint, it's not doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What are the numbers? Do you happen to know?
Not at the top of my head.
Okay, no. I'll look them up real quick. Because you got me intrigued, because that's what really rates the fucking movie, you know?
And, You know, like, it's so funny because when we did our review, we went an hour and 40 minutes on that review. And here's the funny thing. Now, once that we mentioned how, yes, this movie can be a wee bit pandering. Yes, it is Marvel's attempt to parade diversity. We never once mentioned that because there's just so much with the movie that deserves to be tore down that we didn't have the time or energy to really even to look at that or to speculate what their goal was with that. But one thing right now that we have to remember is that Bob Chapek is the one who is, of course, he's the CEO of Disney right now, Mr. Chapek. And if things don't go the way that Mr. Chapek wants them to go, he will give word to Kevin Feige, in which case things will change. Now, what that means is up to anyone's guess, but it is something to keep in mind.
So I did find the numbers, actually. According to CNBC, not a sponsor, we have here that Marvel's Eternals tallies a $71 million opening at domestic box office. That's not good.
Yeah.
Not for an MCU product.
Not for an MCU product. And I believe that it was stated that if you compare it to Shang-Chi, if you compare it to even Black Widow, Black Widow, which also came out on Disney Plus as well as theaters, I believe that both of those movies still had better opening weekends than The Eternals. Oh, and also Venom 2 as well had better opening numbers.
The kid in the back of the class.
And again, that's not to shit on the movie or to speak to the quality of the movie. We've already said our piece about that. But that is to show that even though you're seeing... That's to show that optics are everything. Because if you go to any site that is pro-MCU all the way, you will only see news that's praising The Eternals and that's lauding it. And they're saying that it is a fantastic movie that is doing fantastically well. And you don't see the other side of this. And the other side of this says that, okay, a lot of people didn't like this movie. Hell, this is the first time that any MCU movie has dipped below 60%, better yet 50%. From a critic standpoint, you couldn't get the fucking critics to like your movie? I don't even know what to think about that.
They even got paid to watch a movie.
Right. The critics normally love to pretend that every single film is fucking great so that they can keep coming back and be in the good graces of these companies. So it does say to me, it says something. And now what exactly it means, I don't know. But it does say something here. The Eternals, again... we said this during the review, but The Eternals was definitely Marvel's attempt, the MCU's attempt to show that they can do anything and succeed. Sometimes a little bit of humility is needed. even if you are the giant gargantuan monstrosity that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'll say this much and then I'll let it be. You know, we both agree that we think Spidey 3 is going to be fan-fucking-tastic. Best superhero movie of the year is what we're both still thinking, what we both have thought all year.
I'm worried, bro.
I'm not really concerned about Spidey 3. I think it's going to be a banger. But
bro, I think it's going to be a banger. I have so much hope in it, too. And it's like my hope that is like, it's making me dangle. Here, where I'm just like, man, I have so much evidence that the movie's going to be amazing. I know it's going to be super awesome. But then there's just like that little pessimistic asshole that forever lives in my brain. That little anxiety that's like,
Well, now,
bro, they surprised you a few times this year, bro. Surprised you a bit.
Speaking fairly, though, you said that same thing before Infinity War came out, how there's that little bit of anxiety. That's
because I have so much like high hopes for the movie. Oh. And it's like, what if it sucks? You know, and I feel like it's this, you're right. That's a perfect example because it's like Infinity War was dope. Mm-hmm. It was one of the best MCU movies, you know, and this has potential of jumping up to the same and even similar ranks. I'm just worried, man. I'm going to worry. Mm-hmm. That's okay. And I just really don't want it to suck, man. That's all. I'm cool. I'm gonna go watch it. Don't get me wrong. I just don't want it to suck.
Yeah, I think that for me, that's in similar waters to like Endgame or Infinity War. Like, I don't think it's gonna suck. I think the odds are extremely low.
Well, I don't think it's gonna suck. Again, I just hope it don't.
Yeah. But I say all that just to say that I got to be honest. Phase 4 is by far the weakest phase so far.
Yes, agreed.
And they need a Spider-Man 3. Thank goodness this phase has a Spider-Man 3. Now, next year could really turn it around for Phase 4. Do we know, like, what the... No, we don't even know yet what, like, the big, you know, Phase 4 movie is yet. Like, I mean, the capstone. But also, each phase lasts, you know, 4 to 5 years, so they got, obviously, plenty of time.
Yeah.
But I mean, next year will definitely be a better year for them, you know, with Doctor Strange 2, Black Panther 2, Thor 4. They're definitely going to make a shit ton of money next year. And that's also not to include their Disney Plus shows. But as far as Phase 4 goes, as of now, it's by far the weakest of the phases. But also, again, they're still very, very young in this phase, and there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah.
So, you know. Got to be objective with it all, but also I got to be honest. So, there is that. I was going to talk a little bit about something for Black Panther 2, but I think for now I'm going to hold my tongue on it. I might talk to you about it after the pod is over.
I'd like to know what's up. Yeah.
Let's
see about that. But yeah, let's go ahead and start this thing officially, bro.
Homies, welcome back to another episode of the Superhero Homies Podcast. My name is Quentin, and as always, I am here with the homie Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode. Well, as we had another impressive cold open, unfortunately, teetering on some unfortunate thoughts and some unfortunate revelations, we do have some good news in the chamber. We did get an awesome message from one of the longtime homies, Mr. Chris, listening out. Yeah, first name only. How you doing, brother? We got your message, and I did definitely have to announce to you, as I told Q earlier off mic, bro, you already know I listened to the Wolverines, the Wolverine podcast produced by Marvel. Shit was dope, dude. It was pretty good. Like I told you that. Yeah. I listened to it during my cross-country road trip earlier this year, and season one, extraordinary. Really well done. I really dug the whole vibe. They really got their tone and mastered it. So good. Season two, didn't like it as much, but it was still pretty fucking good. So, yeah. Chris, you know some good content, brother. Thank you for listening to only the best shows, including our own.
And a little bit of context for the homies listening. The homie, Chris, hit us up and said that, you know, he really appreciated our Eternals review. We saved him some money and some time. And you know, he's gonna you know do the smart thing and just wait for the shit to come out on Disney Plus. I do not blame him at all for that.
Yeah.
And then this one, he also mentioned that the Marvel story podcast they're out, and he mentioned how he had listened to several of them. And he even named some off. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that came from. And yeah, Kevin, you have listened actually to some of them.
Oh yeah.
So hell yeah. I have to give some of them a listen to. The Wastelanders really sounded interesting to me.
Yeah. The homie Sam mentioned that to me as well, actually. Mm. Yeah. So, shout out to you, Chris. Always, muchas gracias for the message, brother. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I will say this also, and this is just like for me.
Sure.
I have a hard time getting into narrative podcast. I have a much easier time. No bias here, but I have a much easier time getting into conversational podcast because for me, it's more, I guess, more engaging. I feel like even though I'm not contributing, I feel like I'm at least there listening in back and forth the conversation. But with the narrative piece, my mind will quickly drift off. And then when I come back, I'm like, where the fuck are we?
I can understand that. Admittedly, I like both because some of my favorite podcasts have been more narrative. And of course, I could give examples, but that would add another hour to this. but I like both. Yeah. I like both. It really depends on the content itself, because there's some narrative, you're right, where it's like the first two episodes might be really awesome, just complete straight fire. And then, like, the rest of, like, that first 10 set of episodes is going to be like, all right, I see you blew your load early.
Mm.
And I'm sitting here thinking about what I'm doing with, like, the physical task in front of me or the road ahead. And it's like, this shit got boring. Yeah. It happens. It does. But that one is actually the Marvel content, at least the Wolverine podcast, is not.
But today, homies, we're here to talk to you guys about the latest DC animated film. They have recently done an adaptation of Injustice, which is quite interesting. I remember distinctly that as soon as we did our year 5 review, it was announced that they were doing an Injustice movie. And I was like, oh, DC must listen to the podcast. Because clearly that's what happened there.
Clearly. Without a doubt.
Right. But yeah, so the Injustice movie was announced, you know, many, many months ago. And it just recently came out about 1 or 2 weeks ago. And here we are now reviewing it. We have seen it. I've seen it twice now.
You have.
And we are now here to discuss it. Now, with that being said, homies, you know, again, Kevin and I, we covered all 5 years.
Hell yeah.
And with that being said, for this review, it will be completely spoiler filled. So don't expect to listen to this and not be spoiled by anything that happens. So we're going to break the movie rule, and this will be a full-on spoiler podcast.
Go easy on us for those of you who just said, oh, man, because we are starting to record this at 11:14 at night our time, or 10:14 night our time. We have not updated the clock in the kitchen yet. So, yeah. And also, just to give a little bit more context, too, for the longtime listeners, you already know. But for the listeners who might not have hit up the entire catalog of superhero homie content, the Injustice storyline is one that Q and I are intimately familiar with. It is something that we've reviewed every bit of. And we actually made it a summer tradition to actually go over the different years, at least for as long as there was, you know, content to go over. Now, unfortunately, we're finished.
Yeah. There's technically more.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know if I'm really invested to get into that.
Oh, good. Me neither. That being said, it's been a pretty cool storyline. And,
oh, yeah.
Of course, the news that the movie was coming out was comical because of the timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, finally at the end of that rat race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with this Injustice movie, this was a very interesting project. Something that that we spoke about. I don't remember if this was on or off mic. I feel like it was on mic. But when the news broke, I remember that, you know, we were talking about this, and, you know, we had also recently done The Long Halloween, and it was interesting because The Long Halloween, if you hold the book in your hand, it's a hefty trade paperback. It's probably close to 400 pages, and they had so much respect and reverence for that book that they split it into two films. And now, if you look at the Injustice storyline, if you look at just the 5 years and exclude the Harley content, you're probably looking at close to 2,000 pages of material, and that's not including the actual Injustice storyline from the video game. And so there's a lot of content there, and all of that was put into an hour and 15-minute animated feature.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, not trying to lead you at all, but what did you think of this animated film?
Bro, you don't have to lead me. I was already at the watering hole. So, okay. Honest feeling, and you may agree with some of this. You may actually, like, have such a surprised face at me. We'll see. There is a chunk of the movie that is actually pretty fucking good. And it's enjoyable. The dialogue's there. There's, like, pleasant little Easter eggs if you know what to look for. And that's pretty great. There was, and again, this is notorious with certain DC products, and especially some of their DC animated features, that's just, like, you start off so strong. And maybe not perfectly. Maybe you do things a little wonky. Your setup is, like, Why did you choose to do that? Okay, whatever. We're quickly leaving from there. But the like the middle content, the majority of Act 2 was like, man, this is okay. This is kind of hitting some pleasant notes for me. This is great. This is cool. This is paying some appropriate homage. I can see the relations here. And then Act 3 is like, what the fuck were you doing? Earlier, you made the joke that maybe DC was listening to our episodes whenever, or at least that episode, the review of the Injustice storyline.
I mean, that was five different episodes.
That was five different episodes. This is true.
Yeah.
They were listening to it, or at least Google searched that, oh, hey, this podcast called The Superhero Homies is reviewing the entirety of the Injustice storyline years 1 through 5. But they obviously didn't listen to the Superhero Homies podcast because they would have known some of the biggest fucking roadblocks to avoid that they did not avoid. Act 3 just kind of had me spinning. Just, where the fuck did we go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was weird. It was so weird. I don't know, man. What did you think, though? Let me get your thoughts.
So, my first view of the movie, I completely hated it. My second view, I was a little bit more softer on it, I guess because I knew what was going to happen. I was able to enjoy it a tad bit more than my first time.
Yeah.
So, as a whole, though, like, on the spectrum of the whole thing, I think it's probably the worst DC animated film I've ever seen. And I've seen almost all of them. Like, I'm having a hard time thinking of the ones I have not seen.
I'm kind of in agreement, sadly, because even though it sounds like I might have enjoyed the second act a little bit more than you, mm-hmm. I mean, what the fuck's the purpose if you can't finish it tightly? And the movie just fucking tail dives and just burns and crashes, dude.
And I was really hoping that this movie was gonna be a banger because, listen, regardless, I mean, like as ironic as this may sound, we don't like shitting on stuff. We prefer to praise things, our praise is just as intense and passionate as our disdain for things.
Yeah.
And so sometimes with that kind of energy, the negative can feel so much stronger, even though the times that we love stuff, it is just as strong.
Right.
But it is unfortunate that, we're having like back-to-back things that just did not hit.
Thinking about that because I was watching the movie realizing, okay, this isn't getting any better.
Yeah.
Realizing, man, this is exactly what we're going to have to be on the podcast now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we are passionate about this. So much so that we've been doing this almost to the date 5 years strong. Yeah. And I mean, after that many years of doing this, we ain't going front, Even if that does mean we have to be somewhat repetitive with our energy, unfortunately, back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which sucks.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
I mean, I didn't want that to suck. DC animated features are dope as hell, except this one.
It was a weird mistake, man. I wonder, I don't know if there's someone new that's in charge over all of the animated films, but I don't feel like when they were in like what I call the New 52 verse that wrapped up with Apocalypse War, mm-hmm. like those chunk of movies, I don't feel like they would have done something like this because this movie, I mean, they really tried to streamline so much content. Basically in an hour and 15 minutes. And it's impossible. You can't tell the Injustice storyline in that amount. You can tell maybe a year and a half of it in that time. Like if you get like just the shit that you need and trim off some other stuff.
Right.
But man, to see an Injustice movie completely stripped down of everything and what ends up happening is that you lose so much.
Yeah.
Like, Superman's turn in the comics is very slow, and it's a build-up. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, my wife and kid are dead. I'm an evil dictator now. No, it's a slow build.
Yep.
And same thing with
one. And part of the reason it's so fucking powerful is because they took their time and he developed into this world dictator power.
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie couldn't take that time because it had an hour 15 time slot.
Right. And this is one of those things where I got to be honest, even if they had two movies, it would have been better because they would have been able to pace it out more and include more stuff.
Right.
But even two movies still would not have been able to do this complete justice, no pun intended. I think that, I think that like the most bold thing to do would have been to make five movies.
Oh, gosh. See, that's an investment. That is, okay, we got this big saga coming up. You've heard of it. Injustice. Gonna be five movies, same director the whole time through.
Or hell.
Same voice actors
the whole time. Even technically, six movies because you want to include the actual story from the video game, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Fuck.
So, I mean, like, it would be very, very, it'd be a real big investment. Mm-hmm. But if you really believe in your storytelling, which I don't see why DC Animated wouldn't, then you would do it. I mean, obviously you release other movies in between those, but still, if you really wanted to do the Injustice movie justice, then you would, I think, at least dedicate more. You would do something that's never been done before because you would need to with this property.
For one, that's twice you've made that joke now. Definitely intended.
Not a joke, and only word that came to mind. So yep.
For two... I don't know, man. Earlier you said have faith in DC Animated and actually, you know, writing a tight story. After this one and a couple of the other more recent ones that came out after the New 52 finished up their storyline, I don't know, man. It's like, duh. Damn. Exact. Well, I was about to say, that doesn't make sense. Except for The Long Halloween. That, beautiful. Dope as hell. I'd watch it again. This podcast definitely, this episode will not be like celebrating that entirely, I promise you guys. But I like focusing on that because it was so fucking good.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately a contrast to the Injustice movie.
Which other ones have let you down after the New 52 era?
Hush wasn't nearly as disappointing as this one, but it was a little saddening.
That was New 52 era, though.
It was?
Yeah.
Didn't feel like it. Did not feel like it.
That's true. Yeah.
But Hush did make me sad.
Yeah. Hush was, again, because we've talked about that one quite a bit, too. Mm-hmm. We did a review on that movie as well, I believe. Yeah.
The animated feature, not the graphic novel. Graphic novel, obviously, is great.
Yeah. And the animated movie, I don't think it's bad. And I think that's the difference between... the Hush movie and the Injustice movie. I think Injustice is bad.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad movie. I don't think that Hush was bad. They just really wanted to get interesting with the twist there. And another one that, you know, is in the same boat as Hush is The Killing Joke.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
And how do you fuck that movie up?
Well, the problem is that it's such a short story that they feel like they needed to add meat to it, and...
Bro, the story stands on its own fucking legs. The story doesn't even have to stand. The story floats above the rest. It's earned prize upon prize, you know? It's like, why are we trying to reinvent the fucking wheel here? It works. It's round. It rolls shit. It's good to go. Don't add a square to it.
Yep.
You get the imagery. You get the point.
Yeah, so... Coming back to Injustice, though, they follow like a bare bones premise, and like you mentioned earlier, it's up until the third act when they just go, you know what, let's just do our own thing here.
and in the third act, the movie's no longer the fucking same. Like in the third act, they added on some shit that was left over on the fucking writer's floor. And said, this was supposed to be another movie. We kind of forgot about it. Here we go. We're just going to put the shit on.
And again, like, I don't put the blame on the writers. I put the blame on the executive who made the call to make Injustice a single movie. I put the call on that executive because they clearly didn't know what the property was about. and how big of an investment it would be to do it justice, or to do it correctly, I should say, from now on.
Nah, you're good. I'm just teasing. That's fair. That is a fair hypothesis as to what the hell happened back there.
Yeah. Imagine if you were a writer and, like, you know, some big wig said, hey, you see the...
it's very easily imaginable.
You see the Lord of the Rings? I need you to make that 45 minutes, the entire trilogy. Now, you would have your fucking hands full. I feel like that's probably what these poor writers were told to do. Unfortunate for them and for us. We had to watch it.
Yeah.
And you know, it also didn't do any favors for people who were like, because there are people out there who at times they may watch a superhero movie and say, that's cool. I want to delve more and see what the books are about. Man, this movie, I don't think it will inspire anybody to go to the comics.
Nope.
Yeah. Even though statistically speaking, the amount of people who go to the comics after seeing a movie is very low, it would definitely be lower for this movie. Unfortunate. We could spend an entire episode talking about all the things that were left out. That for those of you who are familiar with Injustice, we can say they left out Afrit, Lex Luthor, the entire Green Lantern War, the Constantine arc with Trigon and the demons. They left out the War of the Gods. Yep. They left...
Oh, Martian Manhunter, don't forget him.
Yeah, he actually didn't have a whole lot in the comic either, but yeah, they left him out.
He was fucking in the comic, and he had a great panel in the comic. Right. We cannot take that from him.
They left out a lot, and that's just, you know, a few of the things. And those are huge things. I mean...
Huge.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, what's insulting isn't how much they left out, because when you tell me that a story which takes up arguably more than five fucking omnis, and you're telling me that this story... Five years, but two omnis, because they collect three in one and two in the other, sure. Thick-ass books. Mm-hmm. And then you tell me that these thick-ass books are also supposed to be in a minute 15. I know something's going to get cut. That's not the most insulting, cream on top of the shit pie. What is the insulting part is what they decided was going to take that shit pie's place. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm like, okay, what the fuck happened? Where did we go wrong?
Yeah.
Who approved this, and how dare you?
Right.
You know, yeah. Because, okay, let's do the setup a little bit better. What the fuck? We missed a lot of stuff in this movie.
Yeah, the movie follows a bare-bones premise in the beginning, because we have Superman who discovers that Lois is pregnant. They're really happy. The next day, Jimmy Olsen is killed and Lois is kidnapped by the Joker. They follow the same, you know, setup is actually done, you know, pretty well for the most part.
Right.
You know, they do the Joker or the Scarecrow gas and Kryptonite combination. Superman thinks that Lois is Doomsday. He flies her up into space and is there when he realizes that it is not Doomsday. It is his pregnant wife. Who was now dead, and there was a detonator attached to Lois's heart. Whenever she stopped breathing, a nuclear device would be detonated, and it destroyed all of Metropolis and 11 million people. And this sends Superman down a dark, dark path. He kills the Joker, and then from there, his regime begins.
Yep.
So as far as that goes, they hit everything, technically, that you would need to for a setup. But we can't skip over the fact that it was done in, like, 10 minutes.
Right.
I mean, they just went right for it.
Let me ask you one question that I would like to know the answer to. And give me your honest opinion, too, because you might not feel as powerfully about this as I do. But I was flabbergasted when it happened, my friend. Why the fuck did they get rid of the Flash? In such a dumb way, too.
So I noticed that.
How could you not? It was insulting. Right.
As weird as this may sound, this actually is going to hurt me to say because I really like this character. But it felt like they killed the Flash to make more room for Mr. Terrific, who actually wasn't in the original story.
I mean, what a shoe-in. What a fucking strange setup.
Also, he was a combination of both the Flash and Lex Luthor.
He played both roles in one story.
Yeah.
But he could have been Lex Luthor without replacing the Flash, theoretically. Theoretically. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know, that was such a strange decision. Like, early on, like, oh, this is how we're doing things.
Yeah.
Okay. What the fuck, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very weird decision. And, like, his death happens very quickly. And...
Ha, no pun intended.
God damn it.
Go to bed a little bit.
go take a power nap, huh?
Not even a full hour. Right. It's like 30 tight minutes. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, shit. But yeah, man, it was really, really strange how, like, they just killed the Flash.
Yeah.
You know, Flash, you know, he walks on up in there. Like, I wonder what this is. Oh, shit. Jonathan Crane, he's dead. He's been Jokerized. He gets sprayed in the face and motherfucking skeleton hands come out of the ground. And I'm like, what really grabbed you? Did anything grab you?
Right.
And then he gets decapitated with a saw. Like, who the fuck set this up?
I know, right? What type of, like, mousetrap Tom fucking foolery was this?
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, in order for that to work, logistically speaking, something would have had to have been installed in the ground, right, that actually came up and grabbed the Flash.
Like, it physically had to stop.
Because of where the saw comes out at. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense if nothing physically stopped the Flash. So, it was very strange and very, like, it needed a lot of things coincidentally to happen for that to work.
Right. And what a time to do so. It's so early in the movie. It does not bode well for the rest of the movie.
And that does lead actually to another problem with this movie is that the fact that it's overly fast paced to the point where the deaths don't mean anything. They don't resonate with you or the characters. Yeah. And that's a shame because that's one of the most powerful points of the Injustice story. Yeah. Is that when someone dies, you feel it. Like, to kind of fast forward a little bit here, when Ollie dies in the comic, you're fucking devastated.
Yeah.
You are like, how could you? That's when the readers have had it with Superman, and when the readers, as you know, generally speaking, think, all right, Superman, you're beyond redemption. Like, what you did to Ollie and the way that you did it, unforgivable.
Yeah.
And, you know, because Ollie's death, the way it even plays out is from his POV, and his last thoughts is with his wife, you know, Dina Lance, Black Canary, and who also is absent from the movie. As well as Dr. Fate.
But they put the Huntress in there, who has all of zero lines.
Yeah, so they include the Huntress, and they didn't give her any of her lines. She didn't have any lines in the movie.
Yeah. Don't think that got by me, DC. I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Atom. The Atom actually isn't even in the comic, but they put him in the movie and didn't give him any lines either. He just
had one line. His line was, ah!
Right,
you know?
It was a blood-curdling scream of death. As he died inside of Superman's brain.
That only one man heard. Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so there were a lot of changes made. And, you know, like the more experience of a podcaster I get, the more grace I try to extend things and the more I try to look at it and see why they may have done certain things. And sometimes I can come up with reasons and sometimes I can't. I get nothing.
And that's so true. Like, the more that we develop the podcasting muscles, the more it's like, okay, let's look at this from all sides. Is there something behind the red curtain as to why this had to happen? Something political? Oh, is this something like this, that, yada, yada, yada? Is this an Easter egg setup for a future? But in this particular case, the cards fall pretty fucking flat. There's not much in defense for a couple of decisions they made this early on. And to speak quickly on a point you made earlier, bro, their pace had to be out this fucking park. It had to be.
Yeah.
And again, it's not funny. Not to beat this dead horse again, but way too much for hour 15.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest sin of the movie.
Yeah, it really is, because it sets them up for immediate failure.
Oh,
as
yeah.
As soon as, like, your plot forces itself to go that fast, you start thinking, okay, how can I make this plot continue this pace? What do I cut to make this happen?
Right.
And that's unfortunate, and you can argue with me, but overall, however the fuck you want to put it, they're trying to cut something to fit it in, like, they're trying to fit a 1,000-piece puzzle into a 250-piece shape.
Right.
And it doesn't fit. It ain't fucking working. Yeah.
You can't mash it in there like an angry 5-year-old. It won't work. The shit won't go.
The imagery's hilarious, yeah. By the way. Just imagine this 5-year-old on like a table, like, get in the hole.
Smashing it, hammer fist. It was me. I was that 5-year-old.
It was actually like a 15-piece puzzle. Right.
And I was 27. But
you just look at me, puzzles suck.
Puzzles suck. Like, I know. I have always said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So, but like you said, man, it can't be overstated how the time, the length constraints and the pacing of this movie are the biggest culprits. Mm-hmm. Because if those two things could be resolved, then the rest of the movie could unfold in a more natural, organic way that makes more sense. Now, you know, they fast-tracked so much to the point where things that should have an impact don't. Mm-hmm. It's like they do things just so that the story can move along and they can keep up with their, you know, their own time constraints. And so, like, you know, I already mentioned how when Ollie dies, it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And no one, I can't say this enough either, they only mourn one time for one scene. That's when Dick Grayson dies.
I was about to say, that was the only time I actually felt something for the death.
Yeah.
That was the only time.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, they found a way to fast-track that. He immediately goes to Ramakrishna. Dead Man is absent in the movie, so he doesn't get a chance to die again. Mm-hmm. And for Dick Grayson to pick up the mantle from him. But instead, as soon as Dick Grayson dies, Ramakrishna's like, who's Boston Brand? There's no such thing as Dead Man. You're a Dead Man. And she makes... and what's funny is that I can't confirm this because I don't exactly remember, but I don't think that he's technically ever called Deadwing in the comic. I think he was only ever called that, like, online. I think that's just what the online community called him.
Well...
So that's kind of funny.
She was not hesitant. Oh, bro, I just thought the coolest new superhero name for you. You were Nightwing, right? Hear me out. But you're dead. You're dead as fuck.
Right,
okay?
Right, uh-huh.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You're dead, asshole. Whoa, instead of Nightwing,
uh-huh.
Bro, you're Deadwing. Check it out.
Excuse me, Miss Ramakrishna.
Go do my bidding.
Oh, okay. What exactly is your bidding?
That's true. She never actually told him. It was just like, all right, go.
What's confusing now is that, because I've seen this movie twice now, I still have the same question, and that is, you know, in that moment when Rama has Dick Grayson in front of her, she goes, you know, your death, you know, happened very suddenly, and you are, basically, you can affect things still, and she shows him what is presumably to be two potential outcomes. One shows... Ra's al Ghul and Damian Wayne fighting, and then right. The other, we see the Justice League fighting Amazo.
Yep.
But both of those things happen.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I just misinterpreted this scene twice?
Maybe. In that moment, she says, the future and the present. But the strange thing about that, even from my POV, was that both of those events happened in the future. From her point on.
Yeah, they both happened in the future.
Yeah. So... even from the dialogue's perspective, it doesn't make sense.
And he wasn't there for the Amazo fight.
No, so. He didn't do shit for that fight.
I mean, he was there for the Plastic Man and Mr. Terrific prison scene.
Yep.
And he was there for the Ra's al Ghul Damian Wayne.
Yeah, fight. He was there for the Goku Teen Gohan scene.
Right. Yeah. The Father Son Kamehameha. That's exactly. What he was there for.
but their command man was much lamer. It was sweep the leg, got
it.
Leg.
Yeah, it was there for the Karate Kid moment. All right. It was literally sweep the leg. Yeah. Ross was like, my knees, they're 500 years old.
Oh, gotta dip those in the Lazarus pit.
Right? Gotta have to soak those in some Epsom salt in the Lazarus pit. I'm gonna feel that shit in the morning.
Why'd that get me so good? Epsom salt in the Lazarus pit. I'm that old.
Well, you gotta add old people shit. Then I'll put some Targa Balm on and I'll be good as new.
Man, this asshole really is going crazy. Right. The League of Shadows looking at him like, bro, what the fuck? You just put Epsom salt in this magical ass bath?
Did you fucking judge me? Go kill yourself, literally. I don't have the knees to do it right now, so you do it. You do it yourself.
And bring me this month's issue of AARP.
It's a magazine?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know AARP had a magazine. I thought you thought they were a company.
Yes to both. Yeah. My parents get AARP monthly. Like, that's how I know someone's getting old. It's like, oh, the government gave you AARP? You didn't even sign up for the subscription?
Oh, shit.
Yep, there you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Damn.
Now you know. You now learned something today.
Yeah, I learned something
Welcome
new
to the States.
Oh, let me tell you. Oh, man. But speaking of Ra's al Ghul, who's another new addition that the movie decided to add?
Yeah, he made no sense.
So, just like how Mr. Terrific was a replacement for, Lex Luthor in The Flash.
Yep.
Ross was definitely a replacement for Sinestro.
Bingo. Easy
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
But a very, very, very less effective.
Yeah, because it was like, okay, we don't have the time or the budget to do the Green or the Lantern Corps War, which... It was one of the most epic things.
It was so awesome. Yes. Yeah.
And oh, and also, Hal Jordan, he gets his ring taken, and we never see the motherfucker again.
Never. Did Superman crush that shit? What? Yeah.
I don't know.
Because literally, Hal at that point is just like kicking ass in the field. Or no, he's just kicking dirt over in the field. He's just like, well, I guess I'll walk my ass.
I guess I'll walk home, I guess. Like, goddamn. What a pushover, Hal. But yeah, so it's like because they didn't have the time or budget constraints or to the resources to do that epic war, they were like, okay, so it wouldn't make any sense if we still use Sinestro. So what? Who else can we use? Ra's al Ghul. Yeah. So they bring him in, and
shit don't make no sense.
It doesn't. So in the comic, Sinestro works under Superman in a similar way to like Infinity Gauntlet, the way that Mephisto is working with Thanos, in the sense where it's like, yeah, man, I'm here for you, I'm supporting you, but if the opportunity ever arises, mm-hmm. that, I'm going to step up, but because you are definitely the one in control right now with the power, I am going to do the smart thing here. That's the kind of energy that Sinestro had, with Superman. Same thing.
Like, he recognized the alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, very much Mephisto and Thanos vibes. But here in this movie, fucking Ra's, he was like, I got this Amazobot, and you're not going to believe it. And, don't ask me where I got it from, or don't ask me why I have it. I mean, but yeah, it's gonna be great.
He got it from the League of Shadows IT department,
right?
Yeah.
So the thing about the Ra's al Ghul plot that doesn't make any sense is he didn't need to join Superman for any of this. Like, you just could have activated Amazo and sent his ass out there.
Yeah,
it would have been the same thing.
Like, literally, you're doing this for what fucking purpose?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't really get the upper hand on him by allying with him. Like, at the end of the day, you activated the bot, and it didn't surprise attack nobody. It just fucking went crazy. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of replacements, Amazo replaced, like, Bizarro and Doomsday.
Somehow. Yeah. Fucking both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get me wrong. Like, Amazo is a... I mean, I guess to give the movie, like, some form of grace, Amazo is a very formidable replacement. A bot that has, you know, the powers of all the Justice League members.
Speaking of which, you know who else we didn't fucking see? Bro. We... Aquaman just dipped the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. We never got the Atlantis portion. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He, like, said, well, I don't like shit happening up here. And that was it.
Yeah.
And that was, like, his one and done, graceful exit, never to be seen again.
Batwoman is also absent. We never get a Batman-Superman fight.
Nope.
We never get any super pills.
Oh, my gosh. Bro. Oh, this is making me sadder. Let's hurry this the fuck up. We're 55 minutes in, bro. We only got 20 minutes to make this shit happen. Oh, 19. I saw that.
Oh, oh shit.
Listening right now, I just looked down at the clock. Oh, yeah, Kevin's right.
Yeah, so because they fast-tracked the fuck out of this movie, they decided, okay, yeah, we're going to put Ra's al Ghul in here and... you know, for reasons. And we're going to have him, you know, attack Damien for reasons. And, yeah, man, it was bizarre. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing, man. It's like, the third act, it's not even that I think the third act in and of itself is technically bad. I just feel like they should have used whatever that was for another movie. Like,
exactly.
You could have created, like, something original with
that. Bro, like I said earlier, that was just shit that was on the writer's floor that was, like, cut and paste from another movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that could have worked for something else, but just not this.
Yeah.
Not a story so well known and documented.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, what the fuck do we know?
And there's also no real sense of time in this movie. Like, how long did the course of this take place?
Yes.
A week.
I mean, is there evidence to deny me yes or no?
No.
That's what I thought.
There's not.
And that's the thing, homies. We're not even joking. There is not evidence. It could have taken 2 fucking days.
Yeah.
It could have taken 15 weeks. Who the fuck knows? And apparently, who the fuck cares?
And it's like, if you have to fast track a movie, then at the very least, you want to do... you want to abide by the rule of cool because your story, because just by logic standpoint, your story won't make any sense. It won't make nearly as much sense. So at the very least, rule of cool the fuck out of it. But how, let me ask you this, how can you rule of cool Injustice without that epic Alfred scene when he beats the fuck out of Superman?
Bro, right. That was an amazing fucking scene.
How do you rule of cool it without the Green Lantern, Yellow Lantern Core War? you can't. You can't just skip over that. That shit is very much needed.
Agreed, dude. Without a doubt. That's.
Are you having a heart attack?
No, I'm good, yeah. I don't know. It's just something weird attacked like the back of my nose. And it's like immediately some. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, it was the atom. I told him to fly into your brain and start fucking and with shit.
A shard of kryptonite in that shit.
Yep.
Admittedly.
That was a good idea.
That was actually a good idea. That was actually pretty dope.
Yeah. That was some shit that was like, if they ever put the atom in the book, that would have been a bomb-ass purpose. Yeah.
I mean, enough said. That's pretty clean.
That's pretty fucking clever.
Yeah. Especially if he just like, aha, and just stabbed that shit into brain tissue. Like, aha, fuck you, Superman. Right. Yeah. Like, how you permanently... cripple the kryptonite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kryptonian.
I also assume that, like, whatever kind of advanced chemical compound that Ross gave Superman, I guess it can also break down kryptonite. Because I understand the killing.
He said what it was. Would you like to know what he gave him?
He said some form of chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. An oxidized chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
One, that shit was instantaneous. That shit was like
he, yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
I know he's called the Atom, but he's not just like a singular cell.
Yeah.
Like.
It, I mean, heaven knows I'm no chemo expert, but it's like, bro, shit would not activate that fast. Yeah.
And
you're right, too. It would not dissolve a physical fucking shard.
A shard of, yeah.
Of a mineral.
Right.
Yeah.
An irradiated mineral. Like, well, oh, is that why? No. I mean, no. I get it. Like,
the radiation can't equal out other radiation. Right. It doesn't deradiate. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. I mean, it's still a fucking shard in his brain.
What would have been much cooler is if he just blasted Superman in the face with a fucking laser gun. Like, that would have made sense.
Oh, that would have been kind of cool, actually. Yeah. Instead of this whole, here, breathe this in.
Right.
Also, if he was just going to turn his ass on Superman, why the fuck did he go to his aid?
Good fucking question. I have no solution for that.
Right? Yeah. Bro, you could have released Corvo. What, Corvo? What the fuck was
Amazo.
His name? That's what I said. What did I say? What the fuck, Corvo? Isn't that the dude from Dishonored? Yeah, Corvo. Yeah, that's the dude from the video game. Oh. Anyways, fuck that guy. You could have released fucking...
Amazo.
Yeah. Bro, oh my gosh. My brain went to Kratos before I went to Amazo. Damn. And you just said it. Like, maybe I just need to go play a game. But Amazo and let Superman die by...
Fucking kryptonite brain shard. Hemorrhage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that shit would have been like, oh, hole in one sinker. Injustice is done. It's Ra's al Ghul's movies now.
I mean, because you know? Yeah. I assume his ultimate plan was to get all the heroes out of the way so that he's the one who can do what he wants to do.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm like, releasing him there at the Fortress of Solitude would have been perfect because Batman's team and Superman's team were there. So,
bingo.
You can get rid of everybody. One fell swoop with a Amazo.
But... apparently, he's just going to give him a blast of breathable chemo and make that shit all better.
Yeah. And I understand, again, that they're trying to make him out to be the Lex Luthor. And in the comics, like Lex Luthor is playing both sides. But, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Terrific was the Lex Luthor.
Right.
So, I don't know really what the... Yeah, he was supposed to be the Sinestro Ra's al Ghul was. So, I don't know. I don't have any defense for it. Because Lex, in the comic, was playing both sides of the equation.
Right.
You know... he had to do things for Superman to save face, but secretly he was working for Batman right. The whole time.
Yeah.
Which is why Lex had to, you know, save Superman's ass, you know, a time or two. But there's no reason for Ra's al Ghul to have done it here.
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, so...
dumb shit, man.
It
dumb
is. Shit. And again, the third act is basically the Justice League versus Amazo.
Basically, with the quickest fucking changing of opinions that I've witnessed, bro, it gave me brain whiplash.
You know what? I guess before we get to the epic conclusion of this movie, we do need to talk about something that...
epic, you say.
We should talk about something that I thought was probably one of the better handled moments of the movie, honestly, and that is the prison breakout. When we have
that was actually okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Again, that's part of the act 2 that I was like, oh, okay, this part's pretty.
And you know, it was similar to the comics because you know, in the comics, what happens is Plastic Man, he willingly goes down to that prison because his son was taken there, which is, that's why he goes in the comics. Yeah. And you know, we get similar moments like instead of Cyborg being the prison guard there, it was Metamorpho. And what we end up having there is it's the same scene where Plastic Man is picking the lock and goes, hey, I found your fucking key, you know, with the middle finger to the camera,
yeah.
Which is pretty funny. But he goes to get his son out of there, and they do a really cool twist in the comic where it looks like Plastic Man is going to make, you know, an epic sacrifice so that, you know, he can show his son, who he wasn't there for a lot, that, hey, I do care, and I'm doing this for you. And the son is like, no, literally, like, we can both get out of here. And Plastic Man's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Let's go.
Plastic Man's like, oh, bet. Okay, yeah. Obviously, we're going to go with plan A.
Right.
Yeah.
But here in the movie, I thought that they utilized this scene pretty well. You know, he goes down there to break out Mr. Terrific, who was forced to make the T-spheres for Superman in this movie.
Right.
And so he goes to break him out because, you know, of course, Mr. Terrific has to be the one to also play the role of opening up a portal, which can draw in other heroes, which is what happens at the end of year five, which kicks off the video game.
Right.
So, yeah, they are able to get Mr. Terrific out of there. And so that scene I thought was pretty cool. That was pretty well done.
Agreed, man. That was actually a pretty well put together scene. The fights were pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It was good. Dick Grayson dying is never cool, but of course that's where he did. So, you know.
He dies in Arkham. Yeah. Yeah. So. Which we didn't talk much about that scene either.
Yeah.
It plays out, you know, mostly pretty much from the pages as well. The whole prison scene.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that.
Yeah, I didn't mind that either.
That was part of the movie. It was like, oh, okay. This is hitting it.
Yeah, it was still, you know, pretty knit together.
Yeah.
That scene played well. Both of the scenes involving prisons or institutes played out well.
Out of context, that just sounds so funny.
Yep.
Man, both the prisons played out well.
Yeah, you know. They went to prison and they came out better men.
wow.
Yep. So now we can go ahead and get to that the third act there. And that is Superman tells Ra's al Ghul to go ahead and send out Amazo to test him out on a small town. Because Amazo was basically supposed to be like, ED-209 from RoboCop. You know how Ed or Ed, as some nerds call him, was meant to patrol carefully the streets and to uphold the law, but he was just a fucking murder bot that RoboCop had to put down. Just murder the fuck out of everybody. Oh shit. Now, I don't want to go off on a RoboCop tangent, but man, that was such a fucking great. RoboCop is an action movie, yes, but it is also a satire, and people don't get that sometimes. It is purposely satirical. The scene where they're first showcasing ED, all right, he goes, here, rumor corporate man, here, take this gun and aim it at ED. Lower your weapon. All right, now you lower your weapon. Yep. All right, and as you see, ED functions very well, lower your weapon. Sir, my weapon is lower. Is it? You have 5 seconds to comply. 3, 2. Guy gets fucking massacred. And they're like, I think he's ready. Listen. That's basically what Amazo is here.
Right. He looked at the little boy.
You have 5 seconds to comply.
Little boy said, "Who?
Did that guy just fucking litter?"
That is what set it off.
Yes.
That man's paper mist in the bag just fucked up a whole small town of people.
That's the cause, man. That guy is the blame.
He's going to jail.
He's dead. He's going to the morgue. That man was instantly cremated in his car.
His spirit got to Ramavishnu. Ramavishnu was like, I don't have to tell you, bro. You shouldn't have littered.
I don't got nothing for you, man. Like, you just.
You shouldn't have threw that paper, man.
You picked the wrong day to have that cheeseburger wrapper. I don't know, man. You said you're going to go on that diet, and then you said, you know what? I'm at the fair. I may as well have this cheeseburger, and then you just threw the wrapper on the ground. See, you should have. Mm-hmm. You should have stuck with your original plans.
Bro, my cheeks hurt, man. Oh, my gosh.
But the movie makes so much more sense if you think about Amazo as the ED bot from RoboCop. Like,
you know what robot I was thinking of? Not to stay on this, but you know what robot
you were thinking about of? The test bot before they made the ED
bot. Yes, the one that's just like, bang, bang.
The one that they killed, the one that killed the two engineers and then shot itself in the head.
Yes, shit's hilarious.
Oh, go watch RoboCop, homies. This is a much better movie.
It's so fucking good. And the fact that this motherfucker ain't in some penitentiary is a pile of horse shit.
Now we're combining RoboCop movies.
Oh, man. I was just thinking about awesome RoboCop moments, man. Yeah. And Samuel Jackson is definitely a winner for some, for sure. Bro, my cheeks hurt so much. Yeah. Please, we gotta move on.
Oh, man.
My laughter is hurting me.
Goddamn. Amazo quickly goes on a murder spree.
I'm sorry, this shit's not funny.
What was also, you know, but maybe it does make sense, but I don't know. The fact that this giant humanoid looking thing just lands and everybody's like, all right. You know, but I guess, again, to give it some grace, it's like they live in the world where super people are, you know, kind of.
Yeah, they're commonplace.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're a Superman fan? I'm a Batman fan. You know, he saved my uncle. But, Gotham.
I also would like to assume that somebody's like, that's fucking Amazo.
Like, one of the two cops on the force just like leaning against the car. They're both like on break or something and they're having their cheeseburger. Like, bro, that's fucking Amazo over there.
Like, should we do something? Do what?
I mean,
you want me to read him his rights?
Bro, he took on the Justice League. What the fuck are we going to do?
Right.
Like, we got these little play shooters.
He is literally whooping Superman's ass right now. What the fuck do you want to do?
Bro, I want to leave. Right. I mean, my pension plan is not good enough for this shit.
Right. So once Amazo goes on this murder spree, Superman shows up and tries to put an end to it. And he tells Ra's al Ghul to call off the bot. And Ra's is like, nah, fam. And then that's a quote. That's a quote.
Nah, fam.
Nah, fam.
I'm disappointed in you, grandson. Nah, fam. Yeah.
And then he tries to kill his grandson.
Yep.
I mean, I guess honestly, that kind of sounds like Ross, but.
Yeah, I mean, his grandson is a little shit, too, little so shit. Yeah.
Damien is a little shit. He's not as much of a little shit in this movie as he was in the comic book.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
He was just, you know how people talk shit about Damian Wayne. In the Injustice book, it is very much warranted.
Yeah.
He is definitely a little shithead. Shit. Yeah.
And he accidentally, but still killed Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's like, but even though it was an accident, it's like, what was your intention? Like, you threw your billy club at him.
Yeah, you whining what, little brat.
Yeah.
Little piece of shit.
Anyways,
dick piece of shit. You know you're a nerd when you get pissed off at a fictional character.
Oh yeah,
right. Amen.
Yeah. That's how you know you. I guess you're doing well. Mm-hmm. So we get the Amazo fight that starts breaking out during the same time as the Ra's al Ghul and Damian Wayne fight. And as you put it earlier, Damian told Damian to sweep the leg. And he does. He does so. And the shit works like a charm. And then, you know, they kind of have their resolution there when Deadwing is basically like, hey, man, you don't have to kill everybody you fight. That is a literal quote.
That is actually quite literally, yes.
And then he goes off to the great beyond.
Yeah, his quest accomplished.
Yeah, you know, because surely he didn't want to say anything to, you know, his surrogate father, Batman, you know. Which, again, I know we said this so many times, but the time constraints in this movie. Mm-hmm. But in the comics, you know, when Dick revisits Bruce, that's another touching moment. You know, because they get to say their goodbyes to each other properly.
Right.
And we never get that here, which means that we never get any potential healing between Bruce and Damian in this movie. As far as this movie is concerned, that relationship is dead, I guess. Because we don't get the proper resolution there.
They just said, nope. Fuck you. You're not Robin anymore. You little shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're barely my son. You killed my son.
Right.
Yeah.
And they just kind of left that at that. But meanwhile, during the Amazo fight, eventually Team Batman shows up to help. And meanwhile, Plastic Man and Mr. Terrific are putting the device together that opens up the dimension to the other 51 universes. Mr. Terrific goes in, and we don't know at the moment what he's doing, while the rest of the team is trying not to get wrecked by Mazo. But eventually, Mr. Terrific, he comes out with a pretty good plan, not going to lie. He brings out a good Superman from, I believe you said, Earth 9. And I did chuckle at this joke because it was a pretty decent callback. Early in the movie, Mr. Terrific is looking at the DC multiverse and at the 52 other parallel Earths.
Yeah.
And Superman's like, "What are you doing?" And you know, Mr. Terrific tells him, "I'm looking at these other Earths." And he goes, "You know, ours is Earth 1 and there's 52 other Earths." But it's like, you know, but theoretically speaking, the other Earths probably call themselves Earth 1
too. Exactly. That's what I was thinking about too.
Yeah. And that's what Mr. Terrific says. And then when he brings out Superman from Earth 9, Earth 9 Superman goes, "Actually, I'm from Earth 1. You guys are Earth 22. And it's like, well, so Mr. Terrific was technically right. The other universes would refer to themselves as Universe 1.
I remember someone actually reacted to that too, like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. How about that?
Yeah. But yeah, so we get Superman on Superman battle. And, you know, and I mean, for what it's worth, it is a very entertaining fight.
It is. And of course, for those of you who definitely have played the video game, you know the Easter egg that they put in the middle of that fight where Superman uses his own finisher from the game on himself.
Pretty clever. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was pretty clever. And they did do something similar with Batman as well. And in the Batwing.
this car.
I forgot to mention they do successfully defeat Amazo, but Superman was so much on his bullshit that he was still going to arrest Team Batman, and he called them terrorists. But at this point, literally, they had done nothing terroristic.
Right.
I mean, literally,
like in the books, in the comics, at this point, sure, yeah.
Yeah, in the comics, you could make a case that they did some quote unquote terroristic acts, but in the confines of this movie, they literally had no time to do anything.
No.
And this is after Superman murdered, you know, a club full of young kids.
the Joker deviants.
Right. Oh, yeah. Just straight up murdered them. And that, and again, that happens in like year 4, I want to say. Like, it's pretty, maybe year 3. It's pretty, you know, it takes some time for Superman to do that vile act.
Yeah.
But anyways,
they kind of jump around.
They did. But the Superman on Superman fight goes on, but eventually evil Injustice Superman gets the upper hand because, as he puts it, "I know you're holding back and I'm not."
Which actually is a very fair point.
It is a very fair point.
I got to give that to them because I was even thinking about that on the couch, like, man, one of these Supermen is still the Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was very fair. And Batman's contingency plan, as typical, it was a good one. Mm-hmm. And his plan was to have Mr. Terrific go in and not just bring out Superman, but to bring out a Lois Lane. And Mr. Terrific finds the perfect Lois Lane. He finds a Lois Lane who had lost her Superman to Brainiac, and this Lois was also pregnant.
Yep.
Now, I have to give it props, and I have to make a complaint at the same time. My props are that, even though this is very radically different, it's a good idea. It's a very sound plan to have a pregnant Lois Lane speak with this Superman.
True.
Where I have to detract from it is they basically reworked the Oliver Queen and Dina reunion. When Dina is killed by Superman at the end of year 2, Dr. Fate arrives and he literally says, "Fuck Fate," because it's so fucked up what happens. And he revives Dina and he takes her to another Earth where Oliver Queen and their baby is alive, but that Dina had died. And so now there's a reunion between Oliver and Dina. And it's, you know, it's a real touching ending for their own story.
You know, I did not recall that heart-wrenching and convenient ending that Dr. Fate had weaved for both of those characters. But I definitely see the correlation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't commend the staff, unfortunately. I kind of find that a little lazy. I find that a little insulting, where it's like, oh, congrats, you just repurposed this. Well, what the fuck was wrong with this?
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I mean, what do we know? It's not like the budget was approved for a 5-movie contract or whatever.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess, admittedly, for this storyline, 5 movies would have been a tad much.
It would have been.
Yeah.
To be fair. I would have settled for 3.
Yeah.
I think three
would be perfect. Yeah. A trilogy. People love trilogies.
Yeah. And also, like, if you do 3 movies, I think you can fit 2 years in a movie.
Yeah.
You know? Because you have year 1, 2, and then you have 3 and 4. And then you have, 5, and then the video game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be suitable. But, of course, that's not what we got. Hell, like I said earlier, I mean, I would have taken 2 movies if possible. It wouldn't have been great, but it would have been, I think it would have been decent. Yeah,
it would have been better.
Yeah.
I mean, you could forget the year with the old gods, and I would be okay with that.
Yeah. You can do everything that Tom Taylor did, and sorry, Brian Buccellato, but your years were not quite as good.
Right.
So you can do years 1 through 3.
I was about to say, that still gives us a lot. That gives us the Green Lantern Tour. That gives us Constantine.
Right.
Yeah. I'm fit.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is the conclusion of the movie, is that Superman and Ms. Terrific said that they're going to build a Red Sun prison for Superman. Not a bad idea. They did the same thing for Superboy Prime and kept his ass up there. So why not do it for Superman?
Yeah.
That's basically the conclusion.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're going to do with Superman in the meantime. Him seeing Lois Lane kind of snapped him out of it, which, again, I think, it makes sense, him seeing a pregnant Lois Lane, feeling the belly and hearing the heartbeat of the child that he and his Lois never got to have. Maybe kind of putting things into perspective for him again. I get what they were doing. I just, unfortunately for them, I, read the comics and I know where they got that from.
Right. Yeah.
But again, repurposing that for a 105-minute movie, I understand, but it should have never happened in the first place, which is the thesis for this.
Yeah, basically. I don't know, man. It made me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimately, I mean, am I glad that I watched it? Eh? At least I know. Mm-hmm. At least I know. But homies,
I do wonder what our thoughts would have been on Injustice had we never not only read it, but covered all 5 years in extensive detail. All of our Injustice episodes, by the way, are like over 2 hours each. So we have like 10 to 12 hours of us talking about the Injustice comics. And this movie has the audacity to give us 1 hour.
Right.
an interesting movie, but I do wonder, like, how we would have felt about it had we not read and covered Injustice. Mm. Like, what do you think?
I think we still would have seen the movie for what it was. Like, I mean, fast-ass pacing is still fast-ass pacing.
Yeah.
We would have seen that and been like, oh, that smells weird. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, I think so too. Like, structure problems with the movie still speak for themselves.
Exactly.
It goes back to our Eternals review. Like,
And also the consequence of such fast-ass pacing, we would have also noticed, like, wait, what the fuck? I just got mental whiplash from how fast these characters changed on a dime, Like, Wonder Woman, how her change of character was immediate against Superman. And same thing with Superman after seeing Lois Lane. Which, granted, between the two, that one makes sense. But Wonder Woman's is like, damn, that shit hit immediately.
Hers had a tad bit of buildup. Like, when she saw Superman kill all those people, she was like, okay. You could see the cracks in the foundation.
A little bit, but that shit was still like, oh my fuck, dude. Yeah. I don't know. It was quick for me. It was quick for me. Especially for the story and for what we know of it. But I guess if I didn't know the story, then that would have sit better with me. So, yeah.
But yeah, man. But yeah, that is our review of the Injustice movie. This is the rare dud for DC animated films. Most of them on a bad day are at least, you know, decent and watchable.
Right.
This is one that I cannot recommend, unfortunately.
Agreed.
Cannot.
Agreed.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Let's go watch Apocalypse War again.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Yes. I think I maybe asked you this one before, but it's time to be asked again. What animated feature would you like to see next from DC?
Justice League Snyder Cut.
That is a very good one.
Thank you.
But that is a live action, and we have seen that.
I want to see it animated. I said what I said.
I mean, if they can continue it animated, that would be great.
Oh, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking just like, no, give me the same movie again. I want to see it as a cartoon. But I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. If they could go back to the way that things were before we got, you know, this movie, I would love to see Doomsday Clock.
Yeah, that's another good answer.
Yeah, that'd be a really good one. Even Three Jokers, I think, could be a really fun story, especially because it's mostly self-contained, you know.
Yeah.
And also since they've done Under the Red Hood and they've done, you know, Killing Joke and Death in the Family, Three Jokers would make a lot of narrative sense, you know. So there you go, DC. Those are two more that you guys can do. Three Jokers would admittedly be a lot easier for you guys than Doomsday Clock.
For the DC employee who is still listening after this entire episode.
Well, there's probably one who is grateful that we were able to vent his frustrations that he probably isn't allowed to.
Hopefully, brother, you are the secret ally for us. You are the Lex Luthor for this team, and we appreciate you. Brother or sister listening right now.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
So
one can only hope, my friend.
Also, invite us to go to DC with you. Or to DC, the corporation, not the city. You get what the fuck I meant.
Yes. You got anything else on this before we wrap up?
Oh, I'm good, brother, man. I'm content.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got all the frustrations out.
I do believe we did. We promise we'll bring better news next week.
Next time on Superhero Homies.
Let me ask you this before you wrap up. This has been something I've been meaning to ask you like for months, but because it's so fucking silly, I keep forgetting to ask.
Okay.
Do you think that we missed the opportunity to call our episodes issues, or do you think it's too fucking corny?
Do what now? What?
Do you think we missed the boat by not calling our episodes issues instead of episodes? Or do you think calling them issues would be too corny?
It verges between corny and too on the nose. I like it, though. That's the problem.
The problem is that we are also corny.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
It's like, exactly. That doesn't mean it's good, but it does say, like, oh, it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. It'd be like, you know, if you guys go back and listen to issue, you know, 347, we're not even there yet. If you go back and listen to, we're close to it. If you go back we're and close. Listen to episode, you know, 147, we talk about such and such.
Yeah.
You know, it narratively fits the bill for what we do.
But actually, that is fuck. Fuck.
If we were time travelers, that's one of the things we would say
to ourselves. That's one of the things we'd have. Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, bro, I promise you. One, start shaving your head. You'll thank me later. Two, Episodes are issues.
Are issues, okay?
And we'll sit there and be like, what the fuck do we... Oh. Done.
Yeah.
Is it too late to start?
I mean, it's not.
It's never too late to start.
Yeah.
So... I mean, hey, I put the ball right here, and I just say, oh, man, it's in your court. I'm liking this shit.
Oh, shit. Yep. Well, there you have it, homies. Hey, let us know what you guys think.
Actually, that would be really dope. Let us know if you think it's too corny, or, man, if you're just waiting for that next issue.
Ooh-wee. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. But that is, that's going to be all for this one, guys. As always, we appreciate you guys listening in. Appreciate all your comments, all your reviews and whatnot. That really helps us out a lot. So be sure to do all the good stuff that helps us out. Please and thank you. Leave us reviews. Send us messages of request or whatever it is that you guys want to say to us. We love your communication. Mm-hmm. But that will be all for this one, guys. But until next time, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And of course, I am Superhero Homie Kevin.
See you next issue.
Hey!